morning, everyone. Glad you are here. Glad you are here. 3 days of shopping left. I'll be glad when it's over. All the shopping. Everybody has their shopping done?
Yes. No.
I got a no. I got one no. Okay. Usually it's the guys, you know. My wife and I were at the mall yesterday, and we were noticing how many men were walking around the mall aimlessly. Lord, lead me to something to buy for my wife. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. But we're glad to have you here. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas as we're getting closer and closer. The only announcement I want to make this morning, other than the other things that are on the bulletin, I encourage you to take a look at those things, is we invite you out to our Christmas Eve service on Tuesday night, 5 p.m. here. It lasts about an hour. Opportunity to sing Christmas carols and certainly hear the story about our birth of our Savior. So encourage you guys to come on out and bring your families, bring your neighbors, certainly invite people to come. It's always a sweet time just to be together with the body of Christ. So what's that? Cookies. Always, I say, don't know why I forget cookies. Yeah, if you guys want to bring some Christmas cookies or some cookies that night, it'd be an opportunity to share with some other people in the body. So I know who in this room knows how to make cookies, so let's make sure we bring those. So that's it in the way of announcements. I want us to go into Luke chapter 1 this morning. Luke chapter 1, taking a break from our study in Acts, and just thought we would look at, obviously as Christmas approaches, just how this all unfolded. So if you have need of a Bible, simply raise your hand. One of these fine gentlemen will hand one to you. Again, Luke chapter 1. I think this mic is on. Every time I touch the pulpit, it's like, better, thank you. Luke chapter 1, we're going to pick up in verse 26. We're going to look at the angel Gabriel speaking to Mary about the coming Messiah. But as always, before we do, let us bow our hearts before the Lord and ask him to bless this time as we study his word. Father God, we come to you in Jesus' name, the name above all names, the name that we celebrate this week, the birth of our Savior, as we remember heaven's greatest gift to earth, Lord, just sending your Son, the Savior of the world, to come into this world, to live the perfect life, to pay the penalty for sin, and to bestow upon all of those who believe in you, Lord, forgiveness for all eternity. And so as we come this morning, we are excited to look into the Word of God to see how these events unfolded, to see how it is you planned to save this world and mankind. Lord, forgive us of our sin this morning. Wash us clean by the blood of Christ. Let all of those who confess Jesus know that there is forgiveness at the foot of your cross, that there is hope, that there is encouragement, that there is again, that release of the penalty of sin because of what you've done. Lord, we don't have to do another thing to add to salvation. It is already perfect. So let us rest in that salvation. But also let us celebrate the truth of forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Not only for ourselves, but others, Lord. Every single one of us in this room has people we're praying for. People we're offering up to you, Lord, that you would move in their hearts, those who don't know you, those whose hearts have been closed off, whose eyes are blinded, whose ears are stopped to hear the truth. God, we pray that you would penetrate their hearts and bring them to salvation. What greater time of year to become saved, to become a Christian than at Christmas time as we celebrate the baby in a manger who became a man who died for our sins. We ask, God, that you would bless us as we study your word. May every eye see, may every ear hear the things and the truths that are written inside this text. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 You know, people look at Christmas through different eyes. Christmas through the eyes of a young child has a lot to do with a big guy in a sleigh pulled by reindeer. For older kids, it's more about the toys, the gifts, the stuff. probably for every single one of us in this room, Christmases years ago when we were young, man, the excitement, the anticipation. You know, that night before Christmas, trying to fall asleep, knowing what was going to be coming. Those are reminders. For others, it's Christmas time is family time. It's getting around the table. It's spending time with loved ones. It's the wonderful food and the wonderful opportunities to be with loved ones. But yet for others, Christmas time can be a time of loneliness, can be a time of heartache, remembering certain things that have happened in the past, discouragement. So Christmas time is, even though it is the most wonderful time of the year, not for everybody. For some, it's like, you know what? I'd rather not remember it. It brings back too many hurts. It brings back too many pains. But there's one group of people that Christmas time is always different, no matter what the circumstances in this life. And that is for the believer, for Christians who believe that the reason for this season, the reason for Christmas is all about Jesus, the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ in the flesh, coming to die for our sins, to take your place and to pay the penalty so that we can stand right before God. See, no matter what happens here on this earth, at Christmas time, we remember the greatest gift, as I prayed, heaven ever gave earth. What a wonderful time, what a wonderful thing for those who are saved. The true meaning of Christmas is about Jesus. And I say it every Christmas time. My prayer for all of us when we wake up on Christmas Day is to thank God for this day. Thank him for this day of celebration, but to thank him more about the gift of Jesus than any gift that's under the tree. See, the gift of Jesus always fits. It's not too big, it's not too small, and it lasts forever. No other gift lasts forever, does it? No, but Jesus does. But also, as I was thinking about this today's message before Christmas, is what it must have been like in the eyes of the participants when the birth of Christ was coming. What it must have seemed like for them as the baby was to be born. And so as I was considering what to do this Sunday, I came to this text where, again, the angel Gabriel comes and speaks to Mary. What a powerful area of text. What a powerful message I believe God has for each and every one of us this morning. Because Mary saw things in a little different way. We all know the end of the story, right? We all know how it turns out. But to think about Mary, a 15 or 16-year-old girl, having this divine interaction with an angel who's going to tell her that there's going to be a child that's going to be coming to her that's going to be the Messiah. I mean, for any of us, that would be overwhelming. And so to see her perspective kind of showed me there are times in our lives as believers that, guys, we must believe in the impossible. Believe in the impossible, that we truly serve a God who does the impossible. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that he can do that? And that we're going to see those words in this text. But I think for many of us, myself included, I need to be reminded that God does the impossible. There's many things that are going on in our lives that we might think, how can that be possible? There's no way that's going to come to happen. Things that are happening in this church, I'm like, God, it seems unsurmountable. It seems impossible. And immediately I have to be reminded, but our God does the impossible. And that's my hope and prayer, is that we will believe the impossible, that we will believe for 2020 God will do something in a powerful way that will reveal to us and remind us that he's still in that business of doing the impossible. And maybe it's been years since he's done something. And we don't want it for the excitement of it. We don't want it for the, wow, the fanfare and the amazement of it. No, we want it because, God, we want to know that you are still doing what you've always done. And that's what we want to be reminded of. With the amazement of all that we see and all that we've done and the things that we know about this story, I want to pull it back and I want us to remember how it all started. How it all started. And I believe Mary will teach all of us to truly believe the impossible. Because for her, sometimes when God speaks, sometimes when God tells you something, sometimes when God reveals something to you, it doesn't make sense. Have you ever been in that place? Where you sense God speaking to you, you go, that doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any earthly sense. But it's also a reminder that God is above earthly sense. He transcends the natural. He transcends what we know to be true, the laws of this world. So God can do the impossible, and I believe Mary will remind us to believe in that this morning. So read with me in verse 26 of Luke chapter 1. It says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was." So let's look at that for the moment. As this scene starts, we're told right in the beginning it was the sixth month. And if the first 25 verses tell us about Elizabeth and, I always forget his name. Zacharias, thank you. How she was told that she was going to have a baby. She was barren her whole life. She believed she was in her 60s. And God revealed to her husband that she would behold to have a child, and he would be John the Baptist. He would be the forerunner to the Messiah at 60 years old. Again, doing the impossible. God seems to be in that business at the moment. But in the sixth month of her pregnancy, Gabriel comes to Mary. And notice what he says to her in verse 28. "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." What a powerful statement to speak to a small girl. And what really touches me in this story is Mary's openness to receive that message. You know, she's in a place where she's listening to the voice of God. And I feel for many of us, we must always put ourselves in that place to listen, to wait on God. It wasn't too long ago I was around some other pastors and we were talking about this very thing, that we would literally give God space to speak, to give God room to speak into our lives and to speak into our hearts. Do we all do that in our busy schedules? Do we take the time to sit quietly before God? Even saying that, it seems impossible, doesn't it? What? Sit quietly before God? Do you understand how much I have to do? Especially this time of year, there's things that must be done, there's preparations that must be had. How can I spend time with God? How dangerous that is, isn't it? If we aren't spending time with God. You know, I've said it many times, but for me, sometimes I love this time of year. I love listening to Christmas music, and I love listening to different worship stations and stuff. But this time of year, sometimes it gets to be too much noise for me, and I just have to shut it off. So even those quiet times can still be in our car as we're driving to the office, as we're driving to the mall, as we're driving to a friend's house, to just turn it off and have a conversation with God and let God speak to you. Mary was in a place to hear. I find sometimes in my life I'm so busy, I'm doing so many things that sometimes I forget to listen to God. Isn't that true? We might go through a whole day where, man, I don't even know if I've spent time with God, I don't even know if I've heard from God, I don't think I've even acknowledged him. I think a lot of our attitude of receiving from God has to be our position as we wait upon the Lord. Maybe even this morning, as you're listening to this message, you're asking God to speak into your life. You're asking God to show you something. Well, maybe Mary's life will be something that you need to see and something that you need to realize. Notice it's an angel, Gabriel. I mean, not just any angel. This is Gabriel, the angel, comes to this wee child, Mary. And notice it says, and he was sent by God. I think the text is so powerful. Again, an angel, Gabriel, the angel, sent by God, a messenger from God, to a city of Nazareth. Now, Nazareth was a small town, but it was a town with a bad reputation. If you know anything about Nazareth, I mean, even in John's gospel, it was Jesus, as he proclaimed his messiahship, you know, someone turned and said, I think it was Nathaniel, has anything good come out of Nazareth? Which again, is such a powerful reminder that God uses the smallest of things, the insignificant of things, to get his will be done. I love that. Here, this again, Mary was young, she was poor, and she was from Nazareth. All the signs really pointed towards God would never use someone like this. You ever feel like that in your life? You ever been in a place where you think, God will never use me? I'm insignificant. Maybe it's you don't have an education. Maybe it's you don't have the gifts and talents. Maybe it's all of these excuses that we give God that God can't use us. When here God is using, I believe, the least in that town. I believe it's the weest one because God wants to get the greatest amount of glory. If you've ever read Judges 6 or 7, it's the story of Gideon. When God comes to Gideon and says, you mighty man of valor, you're going to be used to deliver the people of Israel. And he's like, you got the wrong number. I'm in the least of the tribes and I'm the least in my tribe. God uses, we know that God uses the base things to confound the wise. God uses the small things to get his greatest amount of glory. If you've ever said God can't use me, you're the perfect person for God to use. I find it's harder for God to use someone that says, I can do it for God. I'm gifted enough for God. I've got the gifts and talents. I've got the education. And those things aren't bad. I'm not saying that. But it's like if our pride gets in the way, God can't get the glory. God can't get the glory. Let God use you. Because people will look and you go, wait a minute. God did that through you? That's humbling, isn't it? But God's going to do that through Mary. The reason she's poor, we know later on in this book in chapter 2, when they came to give the baby, to offer the baby to the Lord, there was a sacrifice that must be given. And it was a lamb that they would give. But in the Leviticus, it says if they can't afford a lamb, they can give two turtle doves. And so that's what they did. They offered two turtle doves for Jesus. Again, they didn't have the money. They didn't have the means. She didn't have the prestige. But she had the heart. And I think that is key. And I believe God saw in Mary an opportunity to use her heart because she believed in God in a powerful way. Notice again what it says about her. In verse 28, rejoice, highly favored one. Wow. What a label, huh? Highly favored. Highly favored. That means God was pleased with this girl. Is God pleased with your life? Is he happy with where you are in your life? The things that you're doing, the person that you are, is God looking down and saying, rejoice, highly favored one. I want to know that God's pleased with my life. And Mary's going to experience, once she figures out that she's going to have the Messiah and be pregnant, that she's going to come up against a lot of obstacles. Thank you, my love. It's not going to be easy for her. Young girl, not married, all of a sudden pregnant. Has God ever put you in a situation that's uncomfortable? I think Mary can identify. It's like, Lord, couldn't you found another way? But Mary submits to the will of God. And that's the important thing. Mary shows us that no matter who you are, God can use you. I want you to remember that. No matter who you are, God can use you. And I would even submit to you that this week, let God use you in some way. In your gatherings, maybe with family and friends or whatever you're doing for Christmas, be open to letting God use you. Especially the people in this room that think, God won't use me. God can't use me. Let God use you. I believe he wants to. And again, even if you have all the limitations, even if you've got the list of excuses, don't limit God. I wrote that down in my notes. Don't limit God. Man, that's one thing we cannot do. We can't limit God. We can't put God in a box. Let God be God and let him do what he wants to do through you. You just need to be a willing vessel in the hands of a mighty God, and you can do amazing things. It's so powerful. Luke's main thrust as he's explaining this is the virgin birth, right? We see it in verse 27, to a virgin betrothed to a man. Later on, he says it again to Mary, speaking to her about being a virgin. So he's setting the stage for the impossible. He's setting the stage for us to see that God is going to do something that is unordinary, that's supernatural, that only it can be explained by God. Mary was in the right position to be blessed by God. Someone described this story as God's possible impossibility. God's possible impossibility. I don't know where you're at in your life. I don't know what it is that is before you. But it might seem impossible. But with God, it is possible. It is possible. Notice it says here, again in verse 28, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. How powerful is that truth, that God is always with you, right? Not only is it God can use you, but the truth is God is always with you. He is always there. Maybe we don't sense it, maybe we don't feel it, maybe we don't hear from him, but he's always there. You have to know that. You have to know that in your heart, that God is always there. In our darkest of times, in our most difficult of seasons, it's always good to know, Lord, you're here with me. And, you know, maybe it seems simplistic, but I think it's important that that Gabriel reminded her of that. You are highly favored by God, and God is with you. Maybe someone in this room needs to be reminded of that this morning. Maybe you feel like you've either walked away from God or if you've ignored God for a while. God is there with you. God is there with you. And I would venture to guess that he's speaking to you. That he's speaking to you. You may not be hearing him, but I'm telling you, he's speaking to you. He's there with you. He knows what you're going through. And he's in that situation that you're in. Let him be God. Let him be the Lord of your life. As you remember that he's with you. He goes on and says, blessed are you among women. We'll see that again. And as we know that many people look at Mary and kind of put her on a pedestal, right? Set her up on a place. She's highly favored. She's chosen by God. But that's not the most significant part. The most significant part is that God's using her. I love the fact that Mary is humble enough to say, use me, but she gets out of the way. I think that's so key as in our lives as Christians, is to get out of the way and let God do what he wants to do. Let people see Jesus. Let people see the Lord working in you. Don't let people see you. Get out of the way. When he talks about it being favored, it talks about God's undeserved, unmerited grace. Isn't that a powerful thing in our faith? The grace of God, the true, the unmerited, undeserved grace of God that comes to us. See, the grace that Mary received was that God was with her. And that is a grace that we all possess. God is always there. Question is, are you letting him speak to you? Are you letting him use you? Are you listening to his voice? There is nothing more powerful than to hear God tell you to do something, and then you do it and see the fruit that is produced from it. Whether it's praying with someone, whether it's speaking to someone, whether it's doing a kind gesture, this is the time of year where people are being generous and being giving to each other, and it's wonderful. But that's something as believers we should be doing all the time. Being gracious to other people because God has been gracious to us. I never want to treat anyone in a way that does not represent God properly. I mean, they might not deserve it. They might not, you know, desirous, or they might not, what's the word? They're not willing to receive a grace of God, but God wants to give it to me. I'm thankful that God blesses me and gives me grace when I need it, not because I deserve it. You know how hard we would have to work to deserve the grace of God? Whew. I mean, some of you in here can do it, but I can't. I can't. I need to stand at the end of my day and I go, Lord, I need your grace. I need your grace. There's a song I've been listening to. Maybe they play it more on the holidays. It's called Holy Water. And it talks about just the presence of God being something that just satisfies their soul. And I thought, man, isn't that the truth? To know that God is with us, to know his presence is there, to know his grace is upon us, should enable us and encourage us to believe in the impossible. I think God's grace is impossible, but he happens to always have it for me, and he always has it for you. That's a wonderful thing. Verse 29, after Gabriel tells her she's favored, that the Lord is with her, that you're blessed among women, look at her. Here's the humanness of Mary. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. For Mary, it's like, wait a minute, she's hearing from an angel, that's pretty amazing, right? And then she's troubled by it. What are you talking about? Has anyone ever said to you, I used to have a friend who used to always read, hey, rich and highly favored or something like that, you know, blessed and highly favored. That's what blessed and, they would greet me as a blessed and highly favored one. It's like, man, I don't feel like that. But that's who we are. That's who we are in Christ. And maybe we doubt it. And I think in some senses, Mary's going, what is this all about? Again, small child being approached by God in this way. I don't even think it's even possible for us to put ourselves in this position. When I was 16 years old, if I heard something like this, I would not know what to do. It would just blown my mind. But look at verse 30. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid. The angel knew she was afraid. Mary, for you have found, there it is again, favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and she'll call his name Jesus. Or God is salvation is basically what he said. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. Look at what he says to this girl. Pretty amazing. He knows she's afraid, and he says, don't be afraid, Mary. Don't be afraid. Fear is the very thing that will disable the work of God. Fear in your life. If you're fearful of what God is showing you or God is revealing to you, if you're fearful, it will stop you in your tracks. I was just speaking to someone this morning who's new to the area, but new back to the area, and they're not certain why God's got them back in this place. Have you ever been in a place where you know God told you to be, but then when you get there, you're like, what am I supposed to do here? It's like, I'm confused. And what happens is, as in the case of this person I was speaking to this morning, they were convinced that God told them to move here. And then they move here, and now they're not certain of what to do. And I think fear placed, even doubt and fear placed into our hearts will disable us from fulfilling God's call. So I share this because it's so important that we believe. See, this person, some time ago in the past, knew that God told them to move here. And now they're here and now they're doubting that. I've been there. I've known that God had told me to do something in this church. There was a bunch of us leadership praying. God showed us we were going to do something. We stepped out and did it, and it didn't turn out the way we wanted it. And then we got to go, oh, did we miss the voice of God? Did we miss the... Here's the thing I want us to understand. If you're listening for God, if your heart is right before the Lord, and you feel impressed to do something, you must be obedient to do it, and that's enough. God doesn't promise us the outcome. God doesn't promise us the final thing. God doesn't even give us the understanding for it. He says, I want you to be faithful, and if he moves you, move. That's right. And then just guess what? This is what I shared with this person this morning. This may be a stepping stone for God to get you where you want to be, or he needs you to be. You just need to be faithful in the season that you're in. And I believe there's this doubt. There's this time where we go, I made a mistake. I am so, so grateful to God who works through my mistakes. Aren't you? Because let me tell you, if he only worked with my perfections, we'd be in serious trouble. Right? Wouldn't you agree? Every time you get it right, oh, that's the only time God blesses you. When you mess up, he takes it back. That's not God. It's always about the heart. It's always about, God, I'm going to do what you tell me to do no matter what. Now, as Gabriel describes the birth, and as he describes the baby, it's a little overwhelming, don't you think? This is a huge responsibility for Mary. Look at it again. Behold, in verse 31, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and she'll call his name God of Salvation, or Jesus. Tells him what to name the child. Look at this. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will be the David, the replacement of David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. That is a pretty high bar. If God told you your child would live to that high bar, how nervous would you be? How much prayer would you give? I think wee little Mary, again, betrothed to Joseph, which means basically married in those days, an engagement for a year, believing that Joseph's going to be her husband, now all of a sudden God's telling her that you're going to have a child and he's going to be the Messiah. And of his kingdom, there is no end. No other king or any kingdom ever had a kingdom that was eternal. And this is the promise that Mary's receiving. I'm thinking she's overwhelmed. And I share this because I believe that we should approach God and say, God, give us the abundance of blessing that you want to give to us. God, overwhelm us with your grace. Overwhelm us with whatever you want to do. I believe God only gives us enough that we'll take the first step. I believe that. But here he's given Mary a whole download of who her child's going to be. Because she's in the future is going to have to hold on to this truth. It is so important for every single one of us. If God is speaking to you, if God reveals something to you, make sure you take a record of it. Write it down. Make sure you see it, because this is a powerful truth that God has given to Mary here. And maybe God will do that in your life. Maybe God will give you a powerful truth in your life. But let me say this. You got to position yourself in a way to receive that blessing. Okay? Mary was in a place where she could receive this truth from God in a powerful way. Again, what a description. He explains Jesus to her in a powerful way. But I want us to remind us of who Jesus is. I mean, the Bible tells us that Jesus has the title, you've heard it, Emmanuel before, right? God with us. God with us. It's so important that we always know God is with us. Again, with you, but he's always here with us as well. One of the greatest themes of the Old Testament is that God would be with his people. We will do Christianity, we will do our Lord a great disservice if people don't know he is with us. If we get in the way, and if we kind of push him aside, and if we're telling people, man, look what we're doing as Christians, look what we're doing as a church, look what we're doing. If we start taking the responsibility and we start taking the credit, we've kind of moved God out of the way. God is with us. I want people to know that God is with me. I want people to know that God is with you in the situations in your life. So that when people look and you go, how are you happy in this situation? You go, because I've got God in my life. How are you enduring hardship in your life? Because I've got God in my life. How are you able to be so happy all the time with the stuff that's going on in this country? Because God is with me. God with us. And I've never seen a better description of God with us than this. I hope you can see this. Human life was meant to be dramatic. Anybody believe that? I do. Look at this. We are meant to be God inhabited. Our religion is not organized around keeping God at a distance. It allows us to go see him when we want. If I really want God to be with me, then my life will be extremely different from ordinary human life. Guys, there's a world out there of other humans that don't believe in God. And we as believers are supposed to be radically different than that. Oh, we've all read the stories and seen the stats that sometimes the church looks just like the world, or the world looks just like the church. But I love this statement. We are meant to be God inhabited. God with us, God in us, God in you. Our religion is not God is at a distance. God is here with us. Aren't you glad of that? It is not God up in heaven and hopefully he's happy with me and hopefully he's not going to hurt me this week and hopefully he's going to... No, but he's there with us. Whatever God allows in your life, guess what? He's going to go there with you. Aren't you glad of that? If God tells you to do something, he's going to go with you when he tells you to do it. If he's going to tell you to wait, which none of us like to wait, none of us like to be patient, he's going to wait there with you. God with you, inhabiting your life. Do people know you are a believer in Jesus Christ and that he dwells in your life? Are you living in such a way that you're believing in the impossible? Believing in a God who does the absolute impossible? We must be in that place. We must believe in this world. whatever problems you're facing, whatever worries, whatever fears are harassing you, if you know that your Savior, Jesus, is with you, if you know that, don't let your problems and worries and fears discourage and defeat you. As I've said many times, let your problems, your fears, your discouragements be opportunities for God to do something. If you're going to trust Him completely to do the impossible, then you need to trust Him in the midst of what you're going through right now. He will bring His will to pass if you're patient enough. No matter what you're going through, the Lord is with you and His grace is sufficient. Isn't that hard? When we know the Word of God says His grace is sufficient, but yet we don't sense His grace. Maybe we don't feel what we want in our lives, and God's saying, no, my grace is, His grace is still sufficient as it was back then. We need to know that. Look at verse 34 again. Or did we? No. Yes, look at verse 34. Then Mary said to the angel, and these four words just really get me. How can this be? Isn't that the intellect in our hearts? Isn't that the natural man? When God says do something impossible, we go, how can it be? Maybe you've been given a promise from God and you're like, I don't know how it's going to happen. Here over the last few months, I've been sitting with someone who's kind of helping me get work through some issues in the ministry and stuff. And it's like, at one point I said, I don't know if this is even possible. I don't know, am I being unrealistic? Can this, is this make sense to you? And he looked at me and said, this is absolutely doable. And sometimes we just need that a little bit of encouragement. But for Mary, after she gets overwhelmed with the description of the baby that's going to be in her, she's like, how can this be? And then look what she says next. Since I do not know a man. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. That's a bit overwhelming. And now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. Here it is. For with God, nothing will be impossible. I'd like to say I wish Mary didn't doubt at all. Again in verse 34, how can this be since I don't know a man? But I want to draw your attention to something here that I think is going to be very powerful. If we're going to believe in the impossible, we're going to believe in the impossible in God, right? Notice what Mary said. How can this be since I do not know a man? With you and with me, everything's impossible. Don't forget that. You can't do it. You will fail. You will fall. You will make mistakes. Mary was looking at herself. Mary was looking on the horizontal. She's like, God, this can't be done. I've never been with a man. How can I have a child? Because let me just submit to you, no one has ever had a child outside of having intimate relationships with another person in the opposite sex to this point. So I think it's purely logical for Mary to go, that's impossible. See, we're on the other side of it, right? And we know our Savior is a virgin birth. Doesn't mean he's going to continue to do that, but we certainly believe it. We're on this side of it, so we believe it because God did it already. But for Mary, it hadn't happened. So Mary was looking in her own strengths. Mary was looking in her own abilities, or inabilities, I should say. And that, my friends, is not faith. That is not believing in God. So maybe there's some things going on in your life that seem impossible. And if you try to add yourself to it, yes, it will be impossible. But the greatest thing we can do is put it in God's hands, right? The greatest thing we can do is surrender it to the Lord. Lord, I'm going to believe you can do something with this. Doesn't mean he always will. Let me put that in there. But let's put it in his hands. Let's place it in his control. Maybe there's some things you've been holding on to. Maybe there's some things in your life that you've been trying to fix and that you've been trying to work out. And God's going, get your hands off it. Give it to me. Release it over to me. It could be physical. It could be emotional. It could be financial. It could be whatever. Fill in the blank. With you, it is impossible, but with God, it is possible. And that's what Gabriel ends up telling Mary. Yes, Mary, you can't do it. But verse 34, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. If there's anything we need in 2020 more, it's the Holy Spirit. More of the Holy Spirit coming upon you. More of the Holy Spirit overcoming you. Because the more I get in the way, the more I mess up. The more I try to be the best Rob I can be in my own strength, the worse I become. I will never be the husband to my wife that I need to be if I'm doing it in my own strength. But if I'm doing in the guidance and the anointing of the Holy Spirit reminds me, don't forget. Don't forget about your wife. Not that I would ever forget about her. Don't ever make me think. But the Holy Spirit's there to remind. We need the Holy Spirit upon us. And that's what we see here. Gabriel basically said, listen, you can't do it, but God can. God can. Again in verse 37, maybe we all need to hear this. For with God, nothing will be impossible. God can do it. All of this comes down to faith in God, doesn't it? I've always been moved in the Gospels how Jesus would say time and time again, it's your faith that's made you well. It's your faith that's made you well. Because according to your faith, it shall be done for you. For Mary, the angel had to get her to that place of believing in God. See, for Elizabeth, or actually it was her husband, Zacharias. Because it was, a miracle for Zacharias that God said, listen, your wife's going to have a child at 60-some years old. She's going to have a child, and it's going to be John the Baptist, and he's going to be the forerunner to the Messiah. And Zacharias goes, that's impossible. My wife's too old, which I don't recommend anybody who should say it anyway to your wife. Don't say it. Better to be quiet. And because of his unbelief, he went blind. Mute, that's right. Yeah, he went mute for, thank you. He went mute for a time. Boy, we got to make sure our faith is there. We got to make sure our faith is believing. Now, Mary doubted a bit because she's looking at the humanness. But once Gabriel realized or gave her the real meaning of what was going on here, she came around. She got away from her eye and she started believing in God. My uncle, my dad's oldest brother, was here this week. And my wife and I got to spend and have dinner with them. They live in California. And he said something to me that has been ringing and rolling around in my head for the last week. My mom and dad, when they married, they were 18 years old, very young. And when they married, I was already born. Don't have to say any more than that. And so it was an interesting time back then. And something my uncle said to me that I never really considered. He said, you know, your father and your mother came up against impossible odds and they stayed together all their entire life. And that was so encouraging to me. And the words that really just ring in my head, they against impossible odds. Again, they were young in those days. If any of you know my story, my mom was actually sent away to have an abortion for me. But she changed her mind. Her aunt helped her change her mind, and your pastor's here because of that. yeah, amen, is right. I'm very thankful to that aunt, by the way. but the fact that they stuck it out, and their lives were tough. Their lives weren't easy. My dad worked the same job his entire life. I never felt uncared for. I never felt unloved. But against incredible odds, a lot of their friends have been divorced. And so I'm just thankful for the impossibilities that God can do in us. And I share that story because you can do it too. I don't know what odds you're coming up against in your life, but you can overcome those odds as God guides you and God directs you. I would encourage all of us to have amazing hopes and dreams, to think big and let God use you in a powerful way. Don't let the enemy box you in with discouragement and heartbreak. Those things are there. I don't discount them. I'm not saying ignore them. I'm saying embrace them and watch God heal those hurts. Watch God restore those relationships. Believe God to do the impossible. Listen, there's things in my life that I'm still asking God to change for years. You don't give up on God. You never know when God's going to move. Who are we to say, okay, God's not going to answer that prayer? Maybe he will. Believe. Mary believed. Mary believed. Get these four words out of your vocabulary. How can this be? When it comes to God, how can this be? It can be with God. It can be with God. I've said it many times. If you can explain it, then it's not God. I want something to happen in my life that I can't explain it other than God did that. God did that. Mary was a virgin. Again, positionally, she was in the right place. She was living a pure life. I don't think there's any reason not to speak to that this morning. Our job as believers is to live a pure and holy life before God. If you're living in sin, if you're living thinking you're kidding God because he doesn't see, he sees. So, as best as your ability, live a pure life. Ask for forgiveness. Ask God to wash away the past. He can do that if he's doing the impossible. Believe it. Put ourselves in a place where God can use us. The last thing, verse 37 says, with God nothing will be impossible. Look at verse 38. Look at the heart change in Mary. And I think this is powerful. Then Mary said, behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Mary put herself in the place, goes, I don't understand it. I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's impossible. But according to your word, Lord, according to your word. I'm glad that God doesn't take counsel from us. Because we don't believe, do we, sometimes? We don't have the faith. But Mary came to that place that she began to believe the unbelievable. Now, she didn't understand it. She didn't know how it was going to happen. She didn't have the word of God that was going to tell her, okay, in chapter 2, it's all going to come to pass. No, she just believed. She just believed. Believing in the impossible is exciting, wouldn't you say? Think about that for a minute. I mean, to truly believe in the impossible, that's exciting, that God could do something that powerful in our lives. I would love to see us all enter into 2020 with this desire, go, God, let's see you do the impossible. We're believing it. Now let's see you do it, and let's give you all the credit. May we not get at the end of 2020 and go, man, look what we have done. But let's say, look what God has done, because God can do it. Mary believed that no matter what God promised, he can do it. He can do it. He can do it. And in your times of doubt, he'll also reassure his call. He did that for Mary. When she was like, how can this be? The angel said, no, it's going to happen because God's going to do it. So my prayer for us all this Christmas is to believe the impossible. Believe it in a powerful way. And I prayed that you would believe it, even though it would happen this week, this Christmas week, with friends, family, whoever you're with, believe the impossible. That whatever you've been praying for 2019 that hasn't come to pass, there's still time for God to answer that prayer. There's still time for God to do a miracle. Who are we to set the time frame for God? But let's believe. And let's encourage each other to believe, right? When you're talking to someone who's discouraged and down, encourage them to believe as well. It's our responsibility. So this Christmas, enjoy time with friends, with family, whoever you're going to be with, but don't forget about Jesus. Don't forget about the one who's with you. Through thick, thin, he's there always. Believe that this year. Believe in the impossible. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much. As always, Lord, we are thankful for the word of God that is so encouraging to us, that reminds us, Lord, of the things that you've done years and years and years ago, thousands of years ago, you did this amazing work. But that doesn't mean you're done working. It just reminds us that our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we ask or think. So I would encourage us all to ask, to think, that you would go beyond those things, Lord. That when we pray, Lord, that we'd be sensitive to your voice. That we would have ears to hear what your spirit says to us. And Lord, if Gabriel wants to show up in our midst, and speak a powerful truth. May we, like Mary, say, we are servants of yours. Let it be done according to your word. Let that be the faith that we have. That we know if we do it in our strength, it could fail. But if we do it in your strength, Lord, that there will be eternal rewards. So I pray for each and every person in this room, that you would bless their day, that you would bless their week, you would bless their Christmas. Lord, as we gather together on Tuesday night to celebrate the birth of our Savior, may it not just be another Christmas Eve. May it truly be a time where we just pour our hearts out to you in song, in word. And God, we just are so excited to believe in 2020 that the impossible is in fact possible. To you be the glory. Be with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.